One of the biggest markets in the world right now in literature is young adult literature, because for reasons I'm not completely understanding, it's almost as big with adults as with younger people. I mean, there are a lot of adults that like to read Harry Potter and other YA books. This one would have hit home with me when I was a kid. And I didn't know that till I was about 40 pages in. This story is set in 1975 in Maine. And anybody who's familiar with the landscape will understand he's played the tricks authors do when we live in Maine. We pull whole sections of the state away and move things together and do the like. But it's about a young boy named Sam Candidge, who's living on a farm with his mom. His father, but he's 12 at the time. His dad died when he was 5 in a tractor accident. And mom is hanging on. She's making the farm go, but they're not well off by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not starving. This is not the story of the single mother fighting against all odds. She has one good friend, a woman named Terry, who's an artist, and the two of them are buddies. But Sam has nobody. He lives out in the middle of nowhere, and he really doesn't have anybody. And he would have people at school, except Sam struggles in school. And I'm not going to blow the cover here as to why. But he has a not uncommon problem that a lot of young kids have. Well, what Sam loves to do more than anything else in the world is be out in the woods and go fishing. He loves to fish in Dibbin Creek, which runs through the farm. And he knows that where he's fishing, he's mostly getting chub. And he knows that farther upstream, the pools will be better for trout, because his dad was a fisherman and a fly fisherman. But he's a worm dunker at the moment, and maybe a lure here and there, a spin caster. His mom likes to fish too, but she can only occasionally get away. Then one day he runs into an old fella down at the creek fishing, by an old fella, a guy my age in his early 70s, whose name is Alton, or Alton. You never know in Maine whether it's Alton or Alton. And he is really nice to the kid, and he boy goes home and tells his mom he met this person, and she says, "What did I tell you about talking to strangers? I'm not supposed to do it, but I think he's a really nice guy." And he said he would come, and they eventually meet, the mother and Al. And Al turns out to be a really interesting guy. He's a retired educator. He's also incredibly handy with everything. He knows how to do a lot of stuff. And he teaches the boy to fly fish. And what's good about this is, I mean, that's something I know how to do. And it's something that I learned from mentors. Very few people teach themselves to fly fish, especially the mechanics of casting and the like. But the story keeps taking turns without being in any way kind of just, oh, that would never happen. You know, I mean, there's a tremendous sense of verisimilitude, which is what I would have as a kid liked about this. And I really don't want to tip how the story ends, but I want to talk a little bit about how well Dauphiné sets it up. One of the things that all authors learn if they're paying attention is that if you have isolated characters, they're a lot easier for you to manage, right? Because they're not around people who are going to say, oh, you'd never say that, right? So we also tend as readers to gravitate towards those people that are alone and isolated. We want to root for them. We want to care. Here you have four people who end up being, as they say later in the book, a sort of weird family, because Al finds in this young boy a sort of a new way to live. I mean, he's lost his wife. He lives in pretty simply. He's not a guy that wants a lot, but he loves to fish. This little boy wants to learn to fish, and he wants to learn to do it right. He wants to be really good at it. His teachers all talk about how smart he is, but he struggles with some parts of school. And this is what resonated with me. From the time I was in the first grade until Mr. Gallagher in the eighth grade told me not to pay any attention to people who said it, I heard every damn argument. You're an underachiever. You don't try hard enough. You could do much better. I didn't like elementary school. And there was a lot about it I didn't like, mostly because I hated being inside. My good friend Cormac McCarthy, the musician from South Berwick, not the recently deceased writer, and I talked about this, and he was Bill Morrissey's roommate in college and his best friend. And Bill would talk about this too. It was that wanting to be outside, just not wanting to be inside. Cormac, when he needed to make money before he could sustain himself through music, worked as a groundskeeper at a golf course or on a survey crew. I would do anything, paint houses, work construction, anything to not be sitting at a desk in an office. And all of us had a different learning disability, if you will. Mine was that I couldn't sit still. I mean, they didn't have those initials for whatever it was, but I if I didn't like something, I couldn't concentrate on it. I taught myself over time to be able to do that. And in fly fishing, there's a lot of stuff you can't rush. I mean, it takes a while to learn how to cast, to roll cast, to back cast, to side cast. It takes a long time to figure out how to read the currents and know which bugs are hatching and the like. And in this book, it's made marvelously fun. And there's some secrets in it and the like. Sam learns about the etymology and entomology of the bugs and like from Al, who was a biology teacher, there's a resonance here that you can really buy. So if you got a young person on your holiday guest gift list, and I don't think it makes a difference male or female, it's a really good story, and I salute Dee for putting it together the way he did. As I said, for the first 40 pages, I wasn't sure where it was going, but I was pleased to be there for the ride.
Excellent. It's called The Sage of Dibbon Creek. We may get Dee back on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, it would be good. I'd love to do that.
What's coming up in future Sports Lits?
Well, I think what's going to happen is we're going to start looking at the year in review.
I was going to say, we're getting close to that time, aren't we?
Yeah, and we've done so many books this year, and I always like to look at some that may go back 10 years and some new ones. We'll be previewing Nebraska. I just got the new Nebraska catalog.
So
about some things that we'll be able to get, and I should be getting Syracuse and Illinois and some of the others pretty soon too. So, and I just found out that my friend Casey Simons and my friend Lee McGowan, I know them both from SLA. Lee's a Scotsman with a hell of a great accent, and Casey Simons from down under. She's from Australia. They've co-written a new book about writing about sports. And new ways of looking at it. They're both really good scholars and hysterically funny and wonderful people. So I'm going to get a copy of that book, and we'll have them on from down under. We're going to
figure out
those logistics. They said, can you do it? I said, we had Colin Hay.
Yeah, we had Colin Hay. Well, though he was in America at the time. We had Glenn Shorrock of Little River Band. Somebody else from Australia.
Didn't you, the first time you talked to one of the guys... He was in Australia, but he wasn't Australian. Somebody we talked to.
We've had a couple Australian guests through. Yeah, just have to work out that time schedule.
It's challenging. But so I'll hear from Casey and Lee pretty soon. I owe Casey an email, and we should. I'll get the book, and I think it'll be a really interesting book because they're both really good scholars, and they are both just knocked down funny.
And I've heard from our friend Brad Baluchin, and I think it's in late January, early February, his new book. Brad's the guy who wrote
Wax Pack.
The Wax Pack, that wonderful book where he went and opened a random pack of baseball cards from the 80s and made it his mission to go find all of the players in that pack. Well, he's done a similar thing, this time with the world of wrestling.
Which should be even more colorful.
Oh, absolutely. And so he's gone back and found a number of wrestlers from his childhood in his new book, and he'll be on with us probably in midwinter. I'm looking forward to that because Wax Pack was one of the great surprise books of the year a couple of years ago.
And it was Nebraska's first, and I think to say only book ever to become a bestseller.
Wow.
And for a university press, that's huge because, I mean, they're not going for that. They're going for quality books.
Right.
And not that bestsellers aren't quality books. I don't want to sound like one of those literary snobs because I'm not. But for that to happen for both the press and for Brad is just great.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday here on Downtown.